Welcome back to H-Town Wheelhouse, your local Houston Astros podcast. My name is Brett Chancey, and I'll be with you today. Like always, you can find me at H-Town underscore Wheelhouse on Twitter. You can also find me on Facebook. Go to Strohs411. Check it out. It's the fastest growing fan site on the internet right now. We have a ton of content. We streamline everything from minor leagues to player surgeries and transactions, interviews and podcasts galore. It's your one-stop shop. And our slogan, as always, is always positive, always Astros. Today, we're going to be talking about the June Player Awards that were received by Gerrit Cole and Yordan Alvarez, the Astros' current five-game winning streak, what to look ahead to against the Angels before the All-Star break, and where the Astros may be going in terms of picking up a free agency arm. And lastly, some notes on injured players or players that are set to be out for a much longer time, an extended period of time that was just reported today. Hey there, Astros fans. We're back. Let's talk about what is going on with these June awards. Gerrit Cole received the award for Pitcher of the Month in the American League. And Yordan Alvarez was also rewarded with Rookie of the Month. Air Yordan, as he's called, or some call him the Cuban Crusher. Someone even said the Havana Hammer, but he's not even from Havana. There's all these mantras, and everybody wants to make a t-shirt out of it, which is great. It's great publicity for the game. But Gerrit Cole is steaming ahead with a competitive fire that we have to have. Him and Verlander have carried much of the load this year. And so for him to be named the Pitcher of the Month in June is not a surprise. When you look at his double-digit strikeouts, and you look at when he's down in counts, and he comes back with 100-mile-an-hour fastballs to get the competition or gets out of jams, he truly is one of the biggest portions of the success of this ball club. And I believe that he's going to be a massive, massive part of a deep October and even November run for the Houston Astros. And what I want to talk about is Yordan Alvarez. Who would have thought 16 games into his young career that this bomber would have 7 home runs, 9 walks. He has like 4 doubles. Basically, of his 16 hits, 12 of them are extra base hits. It's unbelievable. And not only does he have a bat, he has a cannon. He throws a guy out at second base, advancing on an extra base hit from left field at Minute Maid Park, and delivers an absolute cannon. Prior to that throw, he effortlessly goes to the ball and picks it up, and he looks nonchalant, and he picks it up, and he just roasts the ball all the way to second base. It is unreal, because not only is Yordan getting these home runs, but he's garnering the respect of other pitchers. He's also walked 9 times. I mean, who does that? What young 21, now 22-year-old player comes into the major leagues and continues to rake the way he was doing in the minor leagues? There are some names we can throw out in recent history and even this year, but they're not a dime a dozen. They are diamonds in the rough. These two players, Cole, Alvarez, have been phenomenal for the Astros. And I would go out on a limb to say that I don't think it's premature to say that if Yordan Alvarez continues even 60% of what he's done, he's easily got to be considered Rookie of the Year. Remember, Carlos Correa was a call-up kind of like Yordan Alvarez was, and he got Rookie of the Year. We could see the same thing out of Yordan Alvarez. Most of the time, he's going to DH. with that knee thing that happened earlier, getting hit in the knee with the foul ball, they're not going to throw him out in the outfield too much, but they don't necessarily need to. Alex Bregman, AJ Hinch, they've all talked about how good this kid is, how he's calm, how he's got a mature presence. I mean, heck, he's batting 317 right now. It's like he is supposed to be where he is supposed to be. A lot of times these rookies come up and they get wide-eyed. And we saw last year when Kyle Tucker came up and was hitting the cover off the ball and just it wasn't the right time for him. Now, Kyle Tucker's time is coming. And I believe at some point we'll see the fruition and the fruits of his labor. And we'll see a great minor league player become a very good major league player. But Yordan just picked up where he left off. 23 home runs in the minors, 7 home runs in the majors, 4 in his first 5 games. Just absolutely unreal. Much deserved awards for these guys in June. Thanks, guys, for tuning back in. Let's look at the Astros' current 5-game winning streak. What has changed? Well, a couple things have changed. They're not giving up as many runs, and they've started scoring. Now, you would look back at me if we were in the same room, and you would say, that's obvious. Thank you, Captain. But we knew that. Prior to this 5-game winning streak and these 2 sweeps, 3-game and a 2-game, but they are sweeps nonetheless, the Astros' offense was sputtering. When they did get hot, the Yankees countered them in 2 of those games. But when they faced the Reds, when they were the last 2 games against the Blue, or the last game against the Blue Jays, it was somewhat of a disaster. So it looked like things were coming unraveled. The pitchers weren't pitching right. Verlander, I think, gave up 3 or 4 home runs in 1 game. And it was just all things stopped working at the same time. That's why when you hear someone who's an avid fan say it's a long season, don't panic, they know what they're talking about. If you look at the way that the pitchers have commanded the strike zone in these last 5 games, especially Wade Miley and what he did in Colorado, I know everybody figured that with Wade Miley going into Colorado, or even the rookie who started the game before him, the Astros were destined to be in some shootout battle and more than likely not be able to get out of Denver with 1 or even 2 wins. Well, they did on both. But the Astros' magic started when Yuli Gurriel, his bat woke up. If you heard about this, he called over to Carlos Beltran when he was in New York and he said, man, I'm struggling. I don't know the exact words, I'm paraphrasing, but multiple media outlets have reported that Carlos Beltran told Yuli Gurriel that he needed to watch the ball with both eyes. Well, since then, he has hit 6 home runs in 8 games. He has a walk-off home run, and he has a walk-off double. Those were done back-to-back nights. The first time that's been done since, I believe, 2015 or 2010. But the bottom line is this. Yuli Gurriel's bat is heating up. And it is awesome to see him the way that he's now making contact with the ball. His average is on the rise, and so were other players that were doing it. In that same game where he hit the walk-off, Bregman was 3 for 5. And they had 7 players who had hits that game. Now, it's not all 9 players, but 7 of the 9 is not bad. When you go and you look at June 29th, you look at their game on June 29th, and what the Astros did. When they beat Seattle in the 10th inning, 6-5, you see that they were just literally hitting the cover off the ball. They were making good, solid contact. They had 8 hits that game. Only 2 players that night did not get a hit, Altuve and Bregman, but the rest of the lineup each got at least 1 hit. So we had the hits coming, the runners in scoring position, they were 4 for 10. Remember on the road trip when they lost seven in a row, they were 0 for I don't know how many. They just could not get the guy from second home. And that's what the difference was. The pitching, the hitting. Again, the next game, they win 6-1 against Seattle, that Sunday game before they fly out to Denver. And they were 4-for-13 with runners in scoring position. They did leave nine on base, but they had 12 hits. And in that game, again, only two hitters did not get a hit that game. I would venture to say that what the Astros have done at this point is turn things around. It is good for a team to struggle. It is good for a team to have to scrap, because if you're always going and you're always flying high and you're playing 60, 70% ball and you hit that lull at the wrong time, like when the playoffs get here, that can ruin your whole season. And it's almost like we did all this for nothing, because it doesn't matter how many games you win in the regular season. And I'm going to quote Brad Pitt in the movie Moneyball, which I don't know if many baseball people really like that movie. I love it, actually. He says, "Nobody gives a you know what if you don't win the last game." So you can break a record. You can win 103 games, 108 games. It doesn't matter. In the end, what are you doing for me lately? So last year's 103 win team was awesome, but they were dealing with injuries at the end of the year, and they couldn't find a way to get over those injuries. I like the Astros' chances this year much more than I did last year, to be honest. I think we've got a stronger team. I think we have the strongest team we've had since 2017. And possibly even stronger. And so when you look at Colorado, I mean, these guys, between Springer and Altuve, they had 10 at bats and they had 7 hits. When your top two hitters are 7-for-10 in one game, that is unreal. And again, Yuli Gurriel came out of the box swinging again. That's when he had two home runs. So these guys are hitting the cover off the ball, the pitchers are hitting their spots, and I mean, how about Wade Miley? What is going on here when you have a guy that everybody knows that if he pitches and he doesn't keep the ball down, the ball's going to fly, people are going to score runs. But not this year. Wade Miley has an ERA that matches that of Gerrit Cole, 3.28. And Wade Miley, even though he got into some trouble in the first inning, he only gave up one run. I mean, who gets into the trouble that he got into and gets out of it? It's all about his focus. And he said in an article by Brian McTaggart that he felt like he was on an island all by himself. What an intense feeling. You're in a stadium that's sold out. You see a sea of orange because there's a lot of Astros fans there. You're throwing the ball over the plate, but it's not even coming anywhere near the dish. He calmed down, literally only gave up one run. He walked a few batters, but he ended up with six strikeouts, ended up with the win, and continued to have success on the mound. In our next segment, we're going to look at possible free agency acquisitions. Before that, we're going to take a look ahead to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Welcome back, H-Town Wheelhouse fans. Let's talk about the Angels and Astros series. The Los Angeles Angels are in town for the next three games, capping off the first half of the season right before the All-Star break. Justin Verlander will be squaring off against Nolan Ramirez. Now, interesting thing about Nolan Ramirez is he will be the Angels opener for the fourth time with righty Felix Pena, who's 5-2 with a 4.73 ERA to follow. The Angels have used an opener ahead of Pena in 11 of his past 12 appearances, taking a sort of Tampa Bay approach to having multiple starters, where you don't have your traditional starter like Verlander or Cole, who the Astros have, but this young guy setting up someone else behind him. And so we'll see what kind of success they can have. See, Verlander is an all-star for the eighth time this season. He's two strikeouts away from tying Jim Bunning, 18th all time on the 18th on the all-time strikeout list. He's 1-1 with a 4.75 ERA in the past five starts. He's allowed 9 home runs in 32 and a third innings in that span. Justin Verlander's been having a difficult time keeping his fastball away from the meat of the plate, I guess elevating his fastball. And if you've heard the podcast that Colin McHugh does, 12-6 on Apple Podcasts, I would suggest you subscribe to that. Back in May, he interviewed Brent Strom, and Brent Strom talked about the importance of the high heater, the high fastball, and talked about how the guys he's coaching these last 3 years really make him look good. But Justin Verlander, clearly you can see there's some confusion, there's some laboring on the mound. And so hopefully he can turn that around coming back home, start July off on the right foot, and get the Astros their 6th win in a row. Now tonight, you will see a return of Yordan Alvarez to the lineup with the DH position available. They did not use him in Colorado. They did not want to take the risk of re-injuring his knee or doing anything extra to possibly hurt his knee since he had that recent knee injury from the foul ball that he fouled off his knee when he was at Minute Maid Park. And so that's one of the things that is going to be awesome to see to see out there on the field, is having Alvarez back in the lineup. So the Angels come into town, and they will see Gerrit Cole go up against Andrew Haney on Saturday night. Cole, who has made his second consecutive All-Star game and third overall, went 3-0 with a 1.89 ERA in his 6 starts in June. He struck out 49 batters and only allowed 10 walks in 38 innings in that month. He leads the AL with 161 strikeouts, and the main reason why he was named American League June Pitcher of the Month. Now, he's opposed on the other side by Andrew Haney. Andrew Haney will attempt to rebound from his second loss of the season. He allowed 5 runs on 6 hits in a walk in 6 innings Sunday versus the A's. Haney has 44 strikeouts in 36 and 2/3 innings this season. And Andrew Haney, if he pitches well, he can give the Astros hitters some fits, to be quite honest. But if you look at the averages, Altuve, Brantley, Chirinos, Springer, Stassi, and White are all batting over 300 against him. Yordan Alvarez has yet to face him, so has Miles Straw. The others are batting in the 200s or 100s. So you have a mix of some really good contact made against him and some hitters that struggle. And you're going to have that. I'm pretty sure A.J. Hinch will have the squad prepared for that 7-10 start on Saturday. To wrap up the series and the end of the season, we will see the second big league start for Jose Urquidy. In his major league debut on Tuesday at Colorado, he allowed 2 runs and 6 hits in 3 2/3 innings. In 76 and 2/3 minor league innings, he has 104 strikeouts and 15 walks with a 3.4 ERA and a .98 WHIP. So they're hoping when he's home in the more friendly confines that he will have more success. And the pressure won't be there like it was pitching in Denver. He is opposed by Jose Suarez, who's 2-1 with a 5.4 ERA with 26 strikeouts. So Suarez will make his 6th start of the season for the Los Angeles Angels, and 5th on the road. He hasn't thrown more than 91 pitches or more than 5 2/3 innings in a game. He did strike out 7 Rangers in 4 innings on Tuesday, so he's had a recent success. So both of these pitchers, when you look at the stat line and the matchups, there is not a single batter in either lineup that has faced either one of these pitchers, which will make for an interesting game. That could be really good for the pitcher. It could be really good for the hitter. We're hoping that. And we're back. Sorry about that, folks. When you have the Anchor app, which you can use on your phone, I found that sometimes people call and they don't know you're doing a podcast. So I was cut off. I received a call. I had to stop that segment. So let's wrap this up. I really think the Astros do fare well against the Los Angeles Angels this weekend. The Angels are at 544-44. The Houston Astros are 55 and 32. So I think that the Astros continue to grow their lead going into the All-Star break, possibly riding an 8-game win streak. You do have to be concerned about some of the power hitters that the Los Angeles Angels have. Justin Bour has come on lately. Of course, they have Mike Trout. They have Justin Upton. They have Ohtani. Pujols is always a menace, it seems like. They also have Tommy La Stella, who is playing out of his mind right now. Jonathan LaCroix, and so on and so forth. So they've got a formidable lineup. Even though they're only playing 500 ball, the Angels can be a dangerous team. And in a smaller ballpark like Minute Maid, the pitchers have to be hitting their spots. We can only hope and pray that this is one of those starts that gets Justin Verlander kicked back in the right gear, where maybe he gives up a solo home run, but that's it. So I see the Astros with a high probability, I would say 70 to 80% chance, that they take these three from the Angels, go into the All-Star break on a high note. Now, with that being said, after the All-Star break and after we see Alex Bregman hopefully win the Home Run Derby and maybe see George Springer get the All-Star MVP, or maybe Alex Bregman get a second one in a row, the Astros will be eyeing free agents. Jeff Luhnow has said that they do plan to target a pitcher, whether it's a relief pitcher or a starting pitcher. It will be who they feel fits best in their clubhouse and for their team's success. There is no delusion at all that the Astros need help when it comes to pitching. And so what we may want to do is think about, who is it that the Astros are targeting or could be targeting? There's been talk of the left-handed relief pitcher Will Smith from the San Francisco Giants, who seems to be a very good option. The 29-year-old reliever is having a stellar season for San Francisco and has been justly rewarded by being selected to his first All-Star appearance. Smith is tied for the National League lead in games finished with 32, tied for second with a 3.4 WPA, and third in the league with 21 saves. So there's that guy. Also another guy from the San Francisco Giants, Tony Watson, someone who the Astros were looking at in previous years but did not end up picking up. He's not a flashy pitcher. He's averaging 6.6 Ks per nine innings, but he also keeps his walks to a minimum. My sources on this are a FanSided article written by Brian Murray called Astros Left-Handed Relief Pitchers to Consider Before the Trade Deadline. So I'm getting my information from this article. Felipe Vasquez from the Pirates is also another target. And then Brad Hand. Now, Brad Hand was one of those guys that everybody wanted the Astros to pick up, and Cleveland ended up picking up. And remember, Brad Hand did not do very well against the Astros in the playoffs. He actually was kind of treacherous, to be quite honest. But this year, he's picked it back up. He's pitched in 38 games, totaling 36.1 innings. His ERA sits at a very respectable 2.23, and his ERA plus is 2.11. His strikeouts per nine innings pitch ratio has climbed in each year of his career, topping out this season at 13.4. So he is definitely a viable option for the Astros to target in free agency. As far as the starters, names like Marcus Stroman, Madison Bumgarner, Max Scherzer, Zach Wheeler is a name that someone has mentioned as well. There are so many others that are out there that we could see the Astros and who they sign. But don't be weary about the Astros' pitching struggles. No matter what, they will go after somebody who will help this club. If it's a starter, it's probably going to be a big name, but the question remains, who are they going to be asked to give up in order to get that big arm? Will the price be a king's ransom? And if it's a king's ransom, is it a rental or is it someone you control? If it's someone you control, is their salary too insurmountable that you can't sign a Springer? You can't sign somebody else that you already have your eyes and setting on a long-term contract? Well, that's all for us today at H-Town Wheelhouse Podcast. We thank you for listening. Y'all have a great one. Go Astros. Let's get this sweep. And congratulations to the Houston Astros All-Stars that made it this year. Y'all have a great day. This is H-Town Wheelhouse. I'm out.